Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
It's a real joy to be with you. As you know, the board of this great church felt it within their wisdom and leadership of the Holy Spirit to be part of the East London hub, and we welcomed that decision very much. Having discussed and prayed with our regional leaders, and you may know of the regional coordinator, David Redbond, very dodgy guy, but hey. Having met with the board, we felt that that's what was good with us and with the Holy Spirit, and so it is wonderful to be here. You only found out about it last week, having found out about it, then I asked Dean if I could take on this evening's preach. He was due to speak this evening, so he's very graciously allowed me to come and to be here. It's not normal that the announcement is made and then the pastor comes the following week. It's normally quite a long time, but it is really exciting, and I wanted to come the first opportunity actually to just be with you. I know I've been here a few times before, but it's great for Joe and I. Joe's my wife. She's here. She's
Hello.
She's my first wife. Only have one. I only have one wife, but I have three children. Naomi, who's 27, and she lives in our home back in Africa, in Eswatini. She's married to Sander Siwe, and together they live in Eswatini in Swaziland. And my son, he's 23, he lives in Birmingham, and my daughter's 19, and she lives at home with us. And so it's a great privilege and an honor to be with you. Paul said to introduce ourselves. Well, my name's Lloyd. That's it. We can come up with all sorts of grand titles, but the reality is I'm a servant of Jesus. I'm an under-shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the leader. And my prayer and desire is to continue the great work that has gone on before me with David and Maureen leading this church and leading the Estuary Church Group, and what Dean and the rest of the guys and what your board here have been doing is to continue and build upon their work under God, under Jesus, because he is our leader. He really is our leader. And I just get the privilege, as do we all here, to serve him. So my name's Lloyd. You can call me whatever you want, as long as you don't call me late for my supper, as my granny always used to say. But it is great to be with you, and an honor to be here. I bring greetings from your other five brothers and sisters. This is but one of five other Elim churches of which you're a part of. And that's the exciting part, actually, of being part of the body of Christ here, that you're actually part of something much bigger, actually. And tonight I'm going to be speaking a little bit about that. You will know that the hub that you're a part of now, the hub that has gone from 2 to 6. And not only do you have one pastor, but you now have many. I think the last count was about 8, I think. I can't quite remember, can't quite keep up with how many we've got, but it is great. And over the weeks and the months and the years ahead, you will be seeing many of them as together we journey with God. Together. This is a journey that we're all on. And there will be mistakes along the journey. There will be things that the Lord leads us into that maybe you never dreamt or ever imagined we would be going into, but that's the exciting part of being on a journey with Jesus. There's a whole lot more to say. I know that Pastor David is planning to have some kind of big celebration where all the pastors from all the other four churches will be joining us, and we'll be having a great celebration and a kind of an official launch, I guess, of the partnership and the synergy. Let me just say, this is not a takeover. I know that the ripples have gone round, you know how things happen in church. This is not a takeover. I'm not coming to take over. East London Elim is not coming to take over at all. It is a working together. It is a synergy. It is a being together, a journey together. And one is not greater than the other. I'm really excited. And over the next few weeks and months, we'll be rolling out, as we work together with Dean, the plans and the future, as we work together with the board, how God wants to lead us as we move forward together. And we're in it together, let me say. This is together. This is not me coming in and telling you all what's going to happen. We're in this together. Okay? So if there's any word of a takeover, if there's any word of, then that is not the case. We're together. I just get the privilege to lead it. And it really is a privilege. It's also quite scary, if I'm honest. This is something new. This has never been worked on before. I was sharing this with the board. David Campbell, who, as you know, is the regional leader, you know, he said, this is a historic moment. We've never done this before. Where there's one lead pastor over six churches. We've never done it before. Elim has never done this before. And so it's exciting, but it's also a bit scary as we kind of go in with a bit of anticipation of what's coming. But we trust in the Lord, which is why I love the songs that you chose tonight, Lord. We trust in the Lord because He is sovereign and He knows. And like I say, He's our leader. And we just have to look to Him. Please don't look to me. We look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray as we come around the word. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we come before you with great excitement and anticipation as to what you're going to do in the days and weeks and months and years ahead as we work together at seeing your kingdom being built in this community, in Ashingdon and in Rayleigh and other possibilities that you will reveal to us in time. We thank you, Lord God, and we just ask for you tonight to come and be with us as we open up your scripture. Give us ears to hear what your spirit wants to say to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lolo, I don't know whether you have a spy camera in my study at home, but you really preached the word already. I could actually sit down. You already spoke it, because my plan this evening was to speak exactly on what you shared. Except you titled it Unity. Mine's on Division. My title is Divided. It's not divided, but the title is Divided. And many of you may know about me, those of you that do know me, and there's one or two of you that do, know that I love the news. I love the news. If I could, I'd watch it 24/7. In fact, Jo was away in Spain because her father got ill. He had a heart attack in Spain recently while he was on holiday. And Jo went over to sort things out, be with her mom and be with her dad. And I just took the opportunity to kind of binge. Some of you will binge on watching, I don't know, Coronation Street or whatever it may be. I don't know what people watch over here, but I like binging on the news, I have to confess. I like watching the news, and particularly on politics. I love politics. I'm not politically party political particularly, but I do like watching politics, and I like praying for politicians as well. I was there on Wednesday, was in the House of Commons, not in the House of Commons, in Parliament, praying for Parliament. That's one of the things that the Lord has led me to. So it's really exciting, and so I love it. But I have to confess that over the last few weeks and months, I've been really concerned as I've watched this kind of Punch and Judy kind of thing going on within Parliament and then outside of Parliament as we've led ourselves up to the general election, and as we see this kind of unfolding right across our party politics, but not just here in the UK, but now in the States, we're seeing it played out, aren't we? As Republicans and Democrats and all that's going on, it's been really interesting. And obviously, last week with President Trump almost being assassinated because of division within the country. It's quite horrendous how things are progressing and how things are going. It seems that virtually in every sphere of life we're seeing division. We're seeing conflict ruling instead of love and peace and harmony. And it's quite the opposite. We see division in friendships and in families. We see it in marriages, sadly enough. We see it in our businesses, in countries, war. We see countries falling due to division, internal divisions within their nations. We even saw recently in Leeds, in one city, where there's some division over some issue. We don't quite really know what it was all about, but there were riots on the streets. Division, a clash. Our societies seem to be rife with division, seem to be divided. And we hear this word bandied about so often. There's division here, there's division there. Within our own nation, we're called the United Kingdom. Yet in reality, there's so much division. Quite the opposite to being united. And sadly, it's also the case within the church. Sadly. Where division comes in. And there's anything but unity. And Jesus has a lot to say about this very subject. Jesus has a lot to say because in the context of being accused of doing miracles by the power of Satan, as he was in Matthew chapter 12, we see his response to this accusation. And it's a response that many of us have heard and many of us have even spoken about. But it's a response that I believe is a message for all of us today, not just within the church, but across our nation and our communities and our society. And Jesus says this, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household, I'm going to put in brackets, and church, divided against itself will not stand. Will not stand. Father, we hear your words and we pray that you'd speak to us, Jesus. Convict our hearts by your Spirit. A kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Every city or household divided against itself will not stand. You see, when we do not forgive, and when we harbor anger and bitterness within our hearts, it causes division. When we're focused on ourselves and not on the needs of other people, it causes division. When we do not love others more than ourselves, it causes division. When we are united, we are strong. It's true, isn't it? When we are united as a country, we're strong. When we are united as a church, when we're united as a family, when we're united as husband and wife, we're strong. Two are better than one. We had the great privilege this last week of marrying two of our pastors. Our worship pastor and our children's pastor got married on Friday. It was great. Great celebration. And what we will see along the weeks and along the days and the weeks and the months and the years to come is that together they're better. They're stronger. As long as they stay united. When we are divided, we are weak. A house divided cannot stand. It's the words of Jesus. Division leads to destruction. And Jesus provides the solution by saying that any kingdom or city or household divided against itself will not stand. In other words, if we flip that on its head, when we're working towards unity, when we're working towards the same goal, when we're working towards the common togetherness, there is strength. There is stability. We will stand. We will stand. Okay, we need to get used to this because I'm from Africa, as you know, and I lead a predominantly African church in Barking, and so normally I get some response.
Amen.
Okay,
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
So I need some response. Okay, I need some help. I'm not going to regret it. As long as you don't start heckling, we're okay. The message of Jesus is clear. Disunity, we fall. Unity, we stand. If we are united, we stand strong. If we are divided, we shall fall. It's simple. End of. For Jesus, it couldn't be clearer. The message of unity for Jesus is so important that he decides to pray to God, the Father, the night before he's about to be crucified. And we read that in the Gospel of John chapter 17, verse 21 to 23. He says this, I pray for them, Jesus is saying, I pray for them to be joined together as one, even as you and I are, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. To live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so they will experience perfect unity. And the world will be convinced that you have sent me. For they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. On the very night before Jesus is about to be crucified, what is he doing? He's praying for you. He's praying for us. And he could have prayed about a myriad of things, but he chooses to pray for unity.
Yeah.
He chooses to pray that we would be one.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah.
It's so important that Jesus himself praise to Father God for you and I, that we would be united, that we would be one. It's pretty important, therefore, church.
Yes.
It's pretty important. It's up there on the top five things that are really, really key. It's really important. So why is unity important? I've got 4 points that I want to share with you as to why unity is so important. Number one, and Jesus says it in verse 21, it says, I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. So that the world will recognize that you sent me. Number one, here we go. The first reason why unity is so important is so that the world will see Jesus when they see us working together as one.
Yeah.
If the church, you and I, are one, then people will know that Jesus is the Son of God sent from the Father.
Amen.
You know what? Say what? You know what?
What?
The greatest hurdle in people coming to Jesus is you.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
Yes.
It's true. Just look at one another and say you're the greatest hurdle to people becoming Christians.
Yeah, you're the greatest hurdle.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 You may say, "Oh, that's a bit too personal," but it's the truth.
Yeah.
But it's the truth.
Yeah. Mm.
We're probably half full here. Where is everybody else? Where is everybody? I know that you could say, well, some people are off on holiday and, you know, David and Maureen, they're gallivanted up to Scotland and, you know, all that kind of, but where is everybody? Why have we got empty seats? Why has Rayleigh only got 14 people in the church?
Yeah.
Hello? Why is that? Well, let me tell you why. And Jesus says it in John 13, verse 35. He says this: "By this will everyone know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The biggest reason why people don't come to Jesus is because they see the church and they say, "I don't want to be part of that."
Mm-hmm.
They see division.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not talking about this church, of course. Because I know this church is working imperfect. I'm talking about the church down the road. Okay, you with me on that? You know I'm not talking about you, actually. You know that, don't you?
No.
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 No. Preach it.
The biggest reason why the chairs aren't full in this building and in Rayleigh and in Pitsy and in Barking and in Dagenham and in East Ham is because we're not working together as we should.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We can forget Alpha, which I believe in. I know we're planning to do that later on in the year, I think. But we can forget Alphas. We can forget all the evangelism strategies that there ever was. We can have tents on every street corner doing crusades if we wanted to in every park in Ashingdon and Rayleigh and Southend. We can do it all. But if we do not love one another, then it's pointless.
That's right.
If we do not have love for one another, then we're a resounding gong and a clanging
cymbal.
I don't know about you, but I don't like hearing a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. It's pointless. And I think that's basically the message that Paul says. If we're not in love with one another, if we're not loving one another, then it's pointless.
That's right.
So let me tell you, if you're not loving your neighbor, if you are not loving the people in this church, you may as well go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
No.
There's the door. I'm serious. I'm not joking. The first Sunday I'm here as your pastor, I'm telling you all to get out. I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm deadly serious. Listen, and I say this with all due respect, for God's sake. And I mean it, for God's sake. We better love one another.
Yeah.
In this church, in Rayleigh, in Pitsy, in East Ham, in Barking, in Dagenham, in our churches that we are part of now, in the family of Jesus that God has called us together, we better love one another. Because if we don't, then the church will die.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we can work hard and we can do all the things, all the strategies, and I can come in. I've got great ideas. I'm dreaming ideas for this church already. I've only been leader of it a week. And I've got a load of ideas. We've been meeting together. We've got a load of thoughts as to how we... But if we don't have love, it's pointless.
Yeah.
By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. And if you cannot love one another, then we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We're in trouble.
No, in my 80 years, I've been to numerous churches. This is the most loving church.
Great. Great.
Not going anywhere.
Great. That's wonderful to hear.
Yes.
But you know what? In my school report, it always used to say Lloyd could do better. And let me tell you what, you can do far better.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know some stuff. I'm privy to some information. And I know that you're not as united as you should be. Come on.
Yes.
Come on. You could do better. I could do better. I could love my wife better. I could love my church better. We could all do better.
Yes.
Number two. So the first reason why we need to be united is because other people can come to Jesus. When we're loving one another, when we're united together, the churches will be packed out. Because the love of Jesus will just ooze out of us. And I'm not just talking about Sunday, but wherever we are in the week. Jesus will just flow out of us. It will ooze out of us. Like a beautiful smelling aroma. People want to know, where have you been? Where were you yesterday? Oh, I was in church. We love. Number two reason why we need to be united, because we can do more together. We can do more together. Acts chapter 4 says, all the believers were of one mind and of one heart, and selfishness was not a part of their community. It carries on. Selfishness was not part of their community. When they were working together with one mind, one heart, selfishness was not part of their community. They gave to one another, they loved one another, they cared for one another. And guess what? The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why? Because they were being united. They were living together. They were one. The prayers of Jesus were being answered right here. Right here. And I believe that when we come together in unity as one, there's no stopping us. I believe that like the church in Acts, when we're together, united in love, united as one church, there's no stopping us. And I believe Ashingdon, Elim, Rayleigh, Elim, Estrey, Elim, when we are working together in love, in harmony, there's no stopping us. There will be no stopping us. There will be no stopping us. I'm serious. And Jesus will be glorified.
Amen.
People's needs will be met.
Yep.
People will be coming to faith.
Yes.
And thirdly, and my brother mentioned this scripture earlier, it's one of my favorites. So thirdly, Psalm 133, how truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It is as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down from his beard, running all the way down in the hem of his garments. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forever. The third reason why we need to be united is because we need God.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need his blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the psalm tells us the way to God's blessing is how?
Unity.
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 Unity. Yeah. It talks about the priests. Does it not? It talks about Aaron. You will know this because you've got a great pastor in Dean, and he's great at expounding the scriptures, far better than what I could ever do. But so you will know this already, I'm sure. But you know that it was important for the priest, for his anointing. He needed the oil.
Yes.
You know that, don't
yes.
you? And so it was imperative. You couldn't anoint someone for if they didn't have the oil. If the oil poured upon their heads, that was part of the anointing. And secondly, you will also know that it was necessary for the grass to grow on Mount Hermon. It needed the dew. Huh? So these two symbols, these two metaphors, it was essential. They're giving us a metaphor for unity.
Yes.
It's saying that it's essential
yes.
for God's blessing that we're united. Let's flip it on its side. I like doing this with scripture. Let's flip it on its side. How truly horrible and sad it is to see brothers and sisters living together in division.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump. For there the Lord will not command his blessing.
Mm.
Hello?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Could it be? Could it be that potentially the Lord isn't blessing us to the full extent because we're not working together in unity?
Yeah.
Could it be?
Yes.
Yeah.
Could it be? I don't know about you, but I want God's blessing. I don't know about you, but I need God's blessing.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's why I'm passionate about this word this morning, this evening, because we need God's blessing.
Yes. Yes.
We need God's blessing. Mm-hmm. Unity needs to be part of who we are. It needs to be a value that we have as a church. When people hear about Estri Elim, they need to say they're a church that love Jesus and they are united.
Yeah.
Nothing will separate them.
Yeah.
You know, as I married Nick and Adriana, I announced that they were husband and wife. I said, kiss your bride. And then I held up their hands. And I said those words that we're all familiar with. What God has joined together,
That's right.
Let no one separate.
Yeah.
That's right.
And as I stand before you tonight, I say, what God has brought together, let no one separate.
Amen.
God has brought you guys together.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not. So let no one, let nothing separate us. Whatever roots of disunity is going on in our lives, whatever it may be, we need to stop it. We need to stop it. Whatever insecurity, whatever stuff is going on, we need to stop it. Let me tell you about something else that we need to stop, because this creates disunity. We need to stop gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I'm telling you, we need to stop gossip. Because it's a root of evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the devil doesn't need to do any work at all in us because we're doing it ourselves. Because we're... Did you know? Did you hear? It's true, huh? Stop it. Stop it. Put a stop to it. If you can't say anything nice, don't say it at all.
Yeah.
If you want to see God's blessing in this church, we need to work hard at unity. Number four, because we need each other. We need each other. Romans 12 says this, just as our bodies have many parts, each one has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts with one body, and we all belong to each other. We need one another. Let me tell you this. One thing that thrills me most about the whole hub is that I need you. I do. I need you. We need you to be part of the hub, whatever it is we call ourselves. And we're going to come up with a new name because we recognize this isn't East London. So we will in time come up with a new name. We had a bit of a competition at Pitsy this morning, and there was a whole load of different ideas that came out, mostly from the children, which was wonderful. But actually, we need you.
Yeah.
Barking Elim needs Ashingdon Elim and Rayleigh Elim. We do. We do. I need Dean. The beauty of this hub is that it's not up to one pastor that's leading one church or two churches, but it's a plethora of eight pastors working together in unity.
Right.
Together in unity.
That's right.
And I'm not here to lord it over anybody. We are working together because I know I am better with him.
Yeah.
I'm not a teacher. I can teach, but I'm not a teacher. He is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very good one. Because
yes.
I've heard him.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not a worship pastor. I can sing and I can lead worship. And so I need Nick, who's our worship pastor. We need one another.
Yeah.
We need you. And as you look around one another here in this room, you need each other. And I don't care what's happened. I don't care how offended you are with such and such and whoever, you need each other, actually. You need each other. Time is going very, very fast. Does that clock go extra fast in this place?
Yeah.
Thought so. Ah. So there are 4 points as to why we need to be united. Did you get that?
Yeah.
4 reasons why we need to be united. Number one, so that people come to faith. Number one, so that people will see Jesus in us and will want to know Jesus, will want to know what we've got. Number two, we can do more together. Number three, we need God's blessing. And number four, we need each other. We need each other. So how do we stay united? Number one, we need to know who we're fighting against. Who are we fighting against? So often we fall out with one another, don't we? And let's face it, we're family. So it's okay to disagree. It's okay to have fallouts from time to time, but it's how we deal with them afterwards that counts.
Yeah.
I'm married to my beautiful wife, and I know you will find this very hard to believe, but there are sometimes where I maybe do something wrong. I know that's really incredible to believe, but that's the case. That is true. Just occasionally I do something wrong, and we have a bit of a tit for tat, and we fall out. But it's how we deal with it.
That's right.
It's how we deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And recognize that, do you know what's going on here? Do you know what's going on here? You're not fighting against me and I'm not fighting against you. What we're allowing in is the enemy.
Yeah.
Ephesians 6, and it comes up on the screen. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You're not fighting against one another. Your husbands and wives, you're not fighting against each other. You're fighting against the enemy. He's at work. As our brother said earlier, the enemy is at work. He's real. He's alive and he's kicking. He is. Let's not deceive ourselves any other way. His number one goal is to divide and conquer. To bring about disunity within the family, within marriage, and within the church. Because he knows that when we are divided, we shall fall.
Right.
He knows that when there is division within the marriage, within the home, within the church, within the nation, within the community, that nation, that marriage, that church will fall.
Yeah.
He knows it.
Yeah.
That's why he tries to divide. That's why he tries to get in. That's why he comes in and says, the little lie that he tells you. That's why he comes in and injects fear, insecurity, doubt, etc., etc., etc. Number two. So number one was we need to know who we're fighting. Number two is we need to love one another. So how do we stay united? We need to know who we're fighting. Number two, we need to love one another. Romans 15 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had for you. So that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise and glory to God. We need to accept one another with our warts and all. With our faults, with our failings, love and accept one another. I have very, very many failings in my life. I do. And my wife chooses to love me despite them all, chooses to accept me despite them all. My church in Barking and East Ham and Dagenham and Pitsea, they know some of my faults. Barking know me more so because I've been with them for 6 years. And yet they still love me. And over the weeks and months, you know what's coming? Over the weeks and months and years, you will also know some of my faults. And my prayer is that you will continue still to love me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I will offend you. I will. Maybe I've done it already. But we need to accept one another.
Yeah.
And we need to love one another. And rather than tearing people down, rather than saying you're no good at this or you're no good at that or whatever it is, or that was a rubbish sermon, or you look untidy, or you look this, or whatever, whatever, whatever. We need to accept and love and build. And sometimes we say it in jest, don't we? I don't know why we do it. Maybe it's embarrassment or whatever. You know, sometimes we sarcastic humor. It's the worst form of wit. Now, I'm all for a good laugh, and I'm all for, but the reality is it building?
Yeah.
Is it encouraging? Is it loving? That's what we have to ask ourselves. I love this from Paul in Ephesians. He says this: with tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love towards one another, especially towards those who may try your patience. Think about whoever it is that tests your patience. Who is it that you really struggle with? Then you better work even harder towards loving that person. Come on. You better start working even harder towards loving that person. So number two, we need to love one another. Number one, we need to stay united because we need to know who we're fighting. Number three, we need to work hard. Romans 14, let us therefore make every effort, not just an itty bitty effort, every effort towards, let us make therefore every effort to do what leads towards peace and mutual edification. Let us focus on that which unites us and not divide us. We could spend all night, all day, all week talking about the things that divide us in this room. We are all different people. We all of us have different gifts and different abilities. We all of us, some of us will agree on this, some of us will agree on that. Some people will have theological issues. Some people will believe in women in ministry. Some people won't believe in women in ministry. Some people will believe in tongues. Some people won't believe it. We will have all sorts of different theologies, but the truth of the matter is we must focus on that which unites us and not on that which divides us.
Yeah, Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
You can clap. And the things that unite us are found in Ephesians chapter 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One. We are one body.
Right.
Yeah.
One body.
One spirit.
We have one spirit. We share one hope. We have one Lord, we have one faith, we have one baptism, and we have one God. That's what unites us. So let us focus together on the things that unite us rather than things that divide us. Work hard at it. Make every effort. And finally, number four, we should never give up fighting towards for unity. We should never give up on one another. And I know some of you have been hurt by one another, even here in this room. I know some of you may have been hurt by previous people that are no longer here. I know some of you maybe have been hurt by members of your family. I know some of you that have been that are here today who have maybe gone through a divorce, or who've maybe gone through all sorts of breakdowns within relationships. And the tendency is to give up on that someone. The tendency is to hold on to unforgiveness. The tendency is to hold on to bitterness. The tendency is to hold on to offense. Let me tell you this. Offense is the bait of Satan. Yeah. I shared that recently at a board meeting. Offense is the bait of Satan, and what the enemy will do is he will throw out his bait on the fishing hook. I'm not a fisherman, but I know Pastor David is. This is not, I'm sure how you do it. No, it's not, is it?
No.
But he will throw out his fishing line, and on the end of the fishing line will be the offense.
Yeah.
And you will come up like that fish, and you will hook onto that offense, and it will kill you.
Yeah.
There's a song in a musical called Frozen. I can't remember the name of the girl that sings it.
Elsa.
And she sings, "Let it go." If you forget everything else that I've said today, remember that. Let it go. Let that offense go.
Yeah.
My daughter used to say to me, "Build a bridge and get over it."
Yeah.
Build a bridge, get over it. Whatever you've got against one another, get over it. Life's too short to hold on to offense, to continue in division, to be a follower of Jesus and to be the church that he wants us to be. We need to pursue unity at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
At all costs. And as Jesus prayed to the Father, let us join him in his prayer that we would be as Ashingdon, as Rayleigh Elim, as Estuary Elim together, as the current East London Elim Hub, whatever we call ourselves. Let us be joined together as one.
That's right. That's right.
Your mantra is one church, many people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you really? May that prayer be true. May that mantra be true.
Yeah.
It starts here. It starts here. It starts with you. It starts with you dealing with whatever offense, whatever issue, whatever it is that you've got with one another, whatever it is you've got with your husband or your wife or your family or whoever it is. It starts with you dealing with that in your heart right now. I don't know how you normally do it, but we're going to do it this way. I was going to say my way then, but we won't sing that song. Let this be the start. That's why I asked for communion to be at the end tonight. Let this be the start of us working together in unity. Let me just read to you a scripture that I'm sure you've heard read before many, many times. And it's normally read at this time as we share communion together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 11 even. "For I pass on to you," Paul says, "what I received from the Lord himself. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks to God and broke it into pieces and said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine and said, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes. So anyone who eats or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourselves before eating of the bread and drinking of the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of the Lord, you are eating and drinking judgment, God's judgment upon yourself. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather to the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you're really hungry, eat something at home so you don't bring judgment upon yourself. I'll give instructions about this matter after I arrive." I believe this is a moment of unity. That as we eat together of the body of Jesus, as we drink together of the blood of Jesus, we're doing it together. As one. As one church. Yes, with differences. Yes, with different gifts and different abilities and different ideas and different dreams. But we do it as one. uniting together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is what unites us, Jesus. Yeah. It is He who brings us together. And I want you right now, I want to invite you all to close your eyes. I know time has gone and you'll be thinking I need to go home because it's late and I need to get to bed or whatever, or need to watch whatever it is you watch. But tonight, I want us to begin and almost press the reset button in our lives. So let us examine ourselves. Let us examine where we are with Jesus. Let us examine ourselves. Is there any offensive way within me? David writes that in the Psalms. Lord, if there's any offensive way within me, reveal it. And ask Jesus, if there's any offensive way within me, if there's anything that's hindering me and you, God, will you reveal it to me? Lord, is there anything that I need to deal with? Is there any way in which I'm hindering unity within the body of Christ? And I need you to put that right tonight in your hearts. Receive His love, receive His grace, receive His mercy, receive His instruction. And let me tell you this. This isn't a biblical phrase, but my granny always used to say this to me, woe betide you. So I'm saying it, woe betide anybody that comes to this table with offense towards anybody. If you have unresolved that offense, deal with it before you take this tonight. I'm serious. If you need to send a text to someone and say, I'm sorry, or if you need to go and phone someone before you take it, or if you need to even, if the person's here in this room, then deal with it quickly, now, before we come together as an act of unity. Let's be the bigger person. Let's show that we love. Let's show that we care one another. If your husband is with you and your wife, you're together, and maybe you've got offense towards one another, right now, deal with it. Put it right. Say, I'm sorry. Pray for one another. Doesn't matter. If this turns into chaos, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God's here. Holy Spirit is here. You don't have to work it all out. You don't have to say, but you this, that. No, just deal with it. Say, I'm sorry. I love you. Send a text to someone now if you've got that offense towards someone. Just say, I love you. But in your heart, put it right. We need to be together. We need to walk forward together in the gospel, in the mission that Jesus has for us. I believe this symbol, these symbols here, are one of the best evangelistic tools that we could ever have because it represents Jesus. Jesus is our leader. Jesus is our head. And we need to work together under Jesus, under Christ, and love one another. So let's create a moment of quietness. It doesn't matter how long it takes. And I want you, if you've not done so already, to just do whatever it is the Holy Spirit is calling you to do right now. It's just be still and allow God to work. Maybe He's already doing that already. Maybe you're here tonight, maybe you've put it right in your heart. Maybe there's someone that you feel you need to just go and pray with. Just to bless, just to encourage. Just to let them know you love them. Just to let each other know that I'm for you, not against you. If you feel led tonight to go and just, I know that may be strange and certainly not English, whatever that means. But let's get rid of that culture and let's come into God's culture and God's love. So again, as we listen to the music, before we take communion, I just want to create that space, that moment. If you feel led to go and pray with someone or just to Even just to put someone, put your hand on their shoulder, just to let them know you're with them. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. Maybe you've been coming to church all your life, but actually you've never given your life to Jesus. Or maybe you have considered yourself to be someone that believes in God, but you've never actually asked Jesus to come into your heart. You've never taken that step of faith. I want to invite you now to join with hundreds and thousands and millions of people tonight by walking the way of Jesus and inviting Him to be your Lord and Savior. If that is you tonight, or maybe you've gone away from Jesus and you feel the need to come back to Him tonight. I don't mean church, I mean Jesus. I don't mean religion, I mean Jesus. A loving friend who gave himself up for you to forgive you of your sins past, present and future. So join with me in saying this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died on a cross for me to forgive me of my sins past, present and future. I turn from my sin and receive your forgiveness. I invite you into my life as my Lord, as my Savior, as my friend. And Holy Spirit, help me to live my way, your way. Help me to live the way of the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I invite you to come. If you love Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I know that maybe here you may have people come and bring it to you, but I want you to come tonight to take the bread, to take the cup, and to come to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So will you come? And will you share together in Jesus' name? Amen. Paul, come. Show the way. Come round the table. As you come to the front, can you stay? If you come to the front, can you stay? Can we just all, yeah, when you've come here, just remain. You can take your communion and then just stand at the front. If you haven't taken communion, I just invite you to come to the front. You don't have to, don't feel obliged to, but I want us all to hold hands. It may seem a bit weird, and if you're not comfortable holding hands, then that's fine, I understand it. But I would like us to hold hands where possible. And I want this to be a prophetic image. As an act of unity. If you can't hold hands, then just put your hand on the shoulder or something. Because united we stand.
Yeah.
Divided we
Amen.
Fall.
Amen.
Amen.
So Father God, I pray for each one of us tonight, Lord, as Estuary Elim Church, as we stand together, holding hands, together, we declare we are united. We speak prophetically,
yes,
Lord, over this church, over these churches, over the communities, Father God, and we proclaim that we are united, and that united in love and in the bond of peace,
yes,
under Christ as our shepherd.
Yes.
We thank you and we declare together we move forward.
Yes, Lord.
Together the enemy has no hold on us.
Amen.
And we are there to love and to support and,
yes,
care for each other.
Yeah.
And Father God, I pray that by this shall all men know,
yes, Lord,
that we are your disciples.
Amen.
By our love,
yes,
for one another.
Lord.
That the empty seats will be filled,
yes,
in Ashingdon, in Rayleigh,
yes,
in the churches in this community.
Yeah.
That the streets will be filled with people that want Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because,
yes,
your church is united.
Yes.
Your church is at one.
Yes, Lord.
I pray this in and through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know whether you know the words of the grace. Do you know?
Yes. Yes.
So let's say it together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.